The following is a pre-recorded program.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, everybody. Merry Christmas. Welcome to a special Christmas edition of Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. And today we're going to be discussing somebody that I'm pretty sure you don't have any displays at home with this particular individual. I'm pretty sure we're not going to talk about him much at church on Christmas Eve or this Sunday. He doesn't really show up a whole lot in the Christmas story, although he's essential to it in many different ways. And so today, our friends at BJU Seminary on the Viewpoint blog, The Forgotten Christmas Son, Four Names, Four Promises for Christmas 2021, and you can get that where we always post every week on our Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. That's seminary.bju.edu. /radio, seminary.bju.edu/radio. And as you work your way through this blog, and we're going to talk about it today with Dr. Sam Horn, there's going to be a lot of things in here that are very encouraging. If you're not looking forward to Christmas, if this is a tough Christmas season for you, then we pray that this show will be an encouragement to you as we look at somebody that doesn't get a lot of attention on Christmas. But it's kind of funny. I did a show just recently when I was asking the audience, asking you guys to call in and share Christmas presents that you remember from when you were a child. And for some of us, this goes back 30, 40, 50 years. And a couple of people in their 80s called in. And so that's difficult and interesting to do. Of course, for anybody under 20 these days, it's hard to remember life before cell phones and laptops and the internet and the smartphone. That's just not even believable to them. But for some of us, we like with our Christmas toys, we go back to the days of typewriters. Remember those? And black and white televisions. And you actually had to get up and turn the handle, all kinds of wild stuff, even rotary phones. I remember that. And in the same way, it's really hard for us to contextualize or imagine a time in this world without Christmas. But in Luke's gospel, we see that very much like some of the things we're facing today, life for Israel was pretty bleak. Today, we're talking about politics. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about the backsliding of the church. That was the exact issue going on back then. As a couple of people came onto the scene, I'm reading from the blog now, it may seem to anxious Christians that God is equally silent amid wrenching and almost unthinkable changes this Christmas season: economic dislocation, political division, rising lawlessness, social disruption, immorality, religious drift, all that with the context, of course, of COVID and everything going on there. Yet, amid the bleakness then and now, intrudes a remarkable story about a barren couple representing a barren nation, a forgotten Christmas son, and God's grace and power. We're excited today to talk through this. The Forgotten Christmas Son, Four Names, Four Promises for Christmas 2021 with Dr. Sam Horn, one of the distinguished professors at BJU Seminary. Sam, it's great to have you back on the show. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Steve, thank you. And Merry Christmas to you. It's always great to be on your show. And I was very, very excited at the opportunity to come and talk about one of my favorite passages in the Christmas story. I think you nailed it. You know, it's so hard to imagine life without certain things that have just been part of the fabric of who we are for our entire life. Yeah. You know, you talked about cell phones. My kids have not known a world without a cell phone. They wouldn't know what the world would look like and how we communicated without that device. And I think the point you made is very, very significant, and that is that for most of us, for all of us actually, we cannot imagine a world without Christmas, because Christmas has been around for 2,000 plus years. Everybody on the planet, whether they believe in God or they worship Christ, everybody on the planet is aware of what happens on December 25th. And our economy is impacted by it. Our social calendars are affected by it. Our nation operates around it. National holidays are set aside for it. And it's been this way for centuries. So to go back 2,000 plus years to Luke chapter 1 and think of a time when nobody was thinking about Christmas. Nobody was even imagining the monumental events that Luke is about to unfold.
Yeah.
Is almost impossible for us. But like you said, this time frame back, 2,000 plus years ago for the nation of Israel was not a happy time for them. In many ways, it sort of mirrors how you presented it so well. It mirrors what we're facing in our own age and in our own country, even though we're separated by all of these centuries. You know, politically, this was a devastating time for this nation. They were under the bondage of the Roman Empire. And even if you acknowledge the good that the Roman Empire did in terms of building roads and establishing conditions of peace, they were still oppressing the people.
Yeah.
And the king that was over them wasn't even of the line of David. He was a puppet king that had been established by Rome over them. And you know his name. His name is Herod. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, Luke actually situates this story in the reign of Herod the Great. And before Herod, there were the Greeks, and before the Greeks there were the Persians, and before the Persians there were the Babylonians, and then yeah. before them there were Assyrians. I mean, this was a really dark time, and yeah. it had been that way for a long time.
And economically, I mean, today there's a whole lot of people with inflation and what's happened in the economy because of COVID. There's a lot of people really experiencing a lot of economic stress. And of course, for most of the players in the New Testament in the days of the birth of Jesus, and that's a name that will come up today on the show, but that's not what we're focusing on. And you mentioned Luke chapter 1. Of course, most of the time we start in Luke chapter 2, but economically you had people that were economically oppressed. They were poor. They didn't have much money. And then religiously, you had all kinds of issues with the church back then, as you do now. And fascinating.
And God had been silent for 400 years. I mean, the last prophet, Malachi, that you have in your Bible had spoken 400 years earlier. And then from God, there had been no revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, there were other things that had happened, but I mean, so it was a very silent time, a very oppressed time, poverty stricken, as you mentioned. I mean, everywhere they turned, the Romans were taxing them. And so this was a really, really dark time.
Yeah, really dark time for them, and we're about to hit the break, Sam. But and of course, for a lot of us, we can see the writing on the wall. This sounds eerily familiar, but as the case was back then, the same case is today, because we're ultimately dealing with the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, who remembers.
He's about to break in.
Yeah.
He's about to break in.
That's exactly right. We're talking to Dr. Sam Horn on this special Christmas edition of Theology Thursday with our friends at BGU Seminary. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at BJU Seminary. And we're excited for this ongoing partnership. And we've been going for several months now, so you can check that out on the podcast of the show, which you can get on Apple, on Spotify, anywhere where you can get your podcast. You can check out Theology Thursday every single week with our friends at BJU Seminary. Of course, we also normally do Facebook Live and YouTube Live, but today not able to do that because of the Christmas break. So just radio only, podcast only, but all the other ones you can find on YouTube Live as well as Facebook Live. Or you can always go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and we've got all the shows archived there as well. But today, a special Christmas edition as we consider the blog post today from our friends at BJU Seminary, the Viewpoint blog that we always use as kind of a launching point each week. And they're doing great thought leadership at BJU. That's why I've been so excited about this partnership, to be able to bring that level of thinking and scholarship and theological understanding to kind of all of us out there in the masses who normally would not have access to that, because the overwhelming majority of us aren't seminary students, never have been, never will be, is true for most folks listening, for you. And I'm a little bit of in between. I have a master's degree that I got from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in ethics and theology and culture. So I'm kind of a go-between. And a mediator here between the brilliant people that we get to access at BJU Seminary. Today is no exception, with Dr. Sam Horn back on the show, esteemed professor, and teaches theology and several other things at BJU Seminary, working our way through today's blog post, The Forgotten Christmas Son, Four Names, Four Promises for Christmas 2021. And I know for a fact that many of you need this today. Because for a lot of us, this is a Merry Christmas. We get a big smile on our face. But for some of you, perhaps you, that's the least thing on your radar screen. And it's not feeling very merry. But God is on the throne. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. And you can always trust him no matter what's going on. So today we hope this blesses you. We're working our way through it. Seminary.bju.edu/radio so you can check out all the blog posts each week. But Sam, that the forgotten son of Christmas, we're like, well, that can't possibly be Jesus. It sounds a little confusing. So help us understand who we're talking about.
Yeah. So Steve, this is awesome. Luke actually presents two births that are both miraculous in different ways. And we always focus on the main birth, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the announcement that came to Mary. But it's super interesting that many, many months before the angel came to Mary, that same angel appeared in Luke chapter 1 to a husband, a priest named Zechariah. And Luke really wants you to know about this guy, right? Because we don't. And so he's like, let me tell you about this guy. He's a priest, and he's in this particular group of priests, and they come to Jerusalem two times a year to serve in the temple. And he's married to a daughter of Aaron, in the line of Aaron, a woman named Elizabeth. And they are righteous, and they are blameless. So he tells you all this up front, so you know exactly who we're talking about. And then he lays this bombshell out. And the bombshell is they're barren. They have no kids. This is a tragedy for them because in their day and age, if you were righteous and you were blameless before God, God's favor upon you would often be presented as a child. You know, you would have children. And so here is this couple, and they're aged. They're well past the age of childbearing, probably in their 70s. And everybody around them, even though they might look at them and say, okay, you know, we know you're a priest and you say you're blameless, but there's got to be something going on behind the scenes because you're barren. And Luke wants you to know the reason they're barren has nothing to do with any hidden sin. They're actually representing a barren nation because for 400 years, this nation has been praying for God to send a baby into the womb of a virgin that's going to end up being the Messiah. And for generation after generation, the nation has been barren. So you've got this barren couple representing this barren nation in the midst of all of this darkness. And on the highest day of his life, Zechariah gets chosen for a high honor. He gets chosen to go into the holy place and put incense on the altar, which represents the praying of all the people. And so he goes in and he does that. And while the prayers are going up, he's praying for the people. The godly people of Israel who happen to be in Jerusalem come to the temple every day at the hour of prayer, and they're praying for Messiah to come. Zechariah goes in, puts the incense on the altar. He puts his prayer representing the prayer of the nation. And as he's doing that, he looks over to the right side of the altar and there's an angel. And I mean, it's terrifying to him. You can imagine. You know, we typically think of this as a fairy tale. It's an actual story that actually happened. So here's this aged priest, terrified, and the angel says to him, Zechariah, don't be afraid. I have very good news for you. Now, what's interesting about Zechariah is his name actually means God remembers. And that's the first major thing Luke wants you to get, is that whatever's about to happen here in the next two chapters is happening because God is setting in motion things that he promised David and things that he promised Abraham 2,000 years earlier and 1,500 years earlier or 1,000 years earlier. And so you have these promises with Abraham 2,000 years earlier, with David 1,000 years earlier, with Moses even 1,500 years earlier, and you're starting to wonder, when in the world is God going to answer all of our praying? And here's a priest whose name means God remembers, and God says to Gabriel, I want you to go down and tell that priest whose name means God remembers that I really do remember. And I'm about to do something so amazing that all of the people are going to end up rejoicing. And that's exactly what happens when the baby's born to Elizabeth. Everybody around her rejoices.
And it's kind of funny because Zechariah, whose name means God remembers, actually doesn't remember because he was kind of clueless. How will I know this for certain? He's like, remember that story? What I did before with Abraham and Sarah. It's amazing.
Yeah, the point to that is we don't remember, right? We are in the same boat that Zechariah is, and we pray and we pray. And some people that may be listening to your show regularly have been praying for things for years, maybe even for decades. They might be praying for a lost son or a lost daughter. They might be praying for some massive thing that has happened over the last 2 years, and they've been praying and they've been reading their Bible and they've been walking faithfully before God, and it's like the heavens are silent. And they wonder, has God forgotten? Does God care? Does God hear? And this story is in our Bible, and it's the first great promise of Christmas, and that is God remembers.
Yeah.
God hears, and God is about to act in a huge way.
Yeah, it's such an amazing point, and I went through and then taught for several years something that came out of Focus on the Family called the Truth Project, which is a great kind of biblical worldview apologetics for the church. And one of the things that Dr. Del Tackett says in there on this particular subject is we forget what we should remember and we remember what we should forget.
Correct.
And oftentimes we forget what we should remember, which is the faithfulness of God. Like you're saying, that God hears, God cares, God remembers, and God is faithful. And so as we work through this today, we're starting with that promise, God remembers. We're going to move on to the next one. God is gracious, but how do we show that graciousness? We'll get to that point next. With the actual forgotten Christmas son himself, we're talking to Dr. Sam Horn. It's Theology Thursday with our friends at BGU Seminary. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Theology Thursday with our friends at BGU Seminary, special Christmas edition as we're working our way through the blog post that you definitely should go get. You should share it on your social media, print it and bring it home. Let people read it and enjoy it and be encouraged by it over the Christmas break, because let us not assume, as we say Merry Christmas and there's lights and pretty things and great food and presents under the tree, all that stuff. There is a significant number of people around this country who are suffering, and Christmas is not such a great time of year for them. It might be you. It might be a family member. So today, as we work our way through the forgotten Christmas son, four names, and we started with Zechariah, four names and four promises that we all need to hear. We all need a reminder of this, but for some of us, it might be a particularly difficult Christmas, so I pray that this really blesses you and helps you. Zechariah was the first one, which literally means God remembers, and that's the first promise we're talking about. With Dr. Sam Horn, one of the distinguished professors of theology at the BGU Seminary, as well as a pastor and very involved in the church as well, helping us walk through. We're in Luke chapter 1. Usually we skip chapter 1, go right to chapter 2 in the Christmas season, but there's so much here in chapter 1. It's awesome. So we were talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth and God remembers, but then we go to the actual forgotten Christmas son and the next promise, which is God is gracious. So who is this forgotten person?
Yeah, Steve, that's amazing. So here's the angel. Just to kind of pick up our story. You know, Zechariah is in the holy place. He's standing in front of the altar of incense. The smoke's going up, representing all the praying of God's people. And that praying has been going on really since the day of Abraham, right? And really all the way up through Moses and all the way up through David and all the way up through the time of Zechariah and the faithful people that were honoring God through keeping the Torah. If they happened to be in Jerusalem, they would come to the temple and they would pray at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the time of evening prayers. And so here's Zechariah, God remembers, and he goes in and he sees an angel, and the angel has a message for him. And we know the angel. We'll talk about the angel here in a minute, but so let's put him on pause. But his message is good news. And he actually says that, I'm coming to give you good news. And the good news is that God has heard your prayers. You know, I don't want to skip over that, because sometimes we want to go right to the answer.
Yeah.
And we think the answer is the good news. But the good news is actually that God has been listening and God has been hearing and God has been acting. Mm. And so here's the good news, Zechariah. God has been hearing your prayers and he is answering them. And you and Elizabeth are going to have a son. And when that son comes, you are to call his name John. The angel actually names two sons. He names this son, and then when he appears to Mary later on, he names that son. So here are two names that have been given to two people by God, and they're very significant. And the name John actually means God is gracious.
Wow.
God hasn't forgotten. God isn't angry. God isn't powerless. God hasn't turned his back on you in spite of all the things that have happened and all the ways you've turned your back on him. God hasn't turned his back on you. He is gracious. And when this son comes, Zechariah, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And the evidence for that is that when we get to Luke chapter 7 and we actually meet John and Jesus, Jesus talks about John and he says he is the greatest person that's ever lived. So we're actually meeting the greatest person on the planet outside of Jesus Christ before he's born.
Yeah.
And what's going to make him great is the fact that the Holy Spirit is on him. And he's on him even from the time of his womb because of the role that God has given to him. And so what this son that Zechariah and Elizabeth are about to have is going to do is he's going to have a ministry of mercy. Mm-hmm. He's going to magnify God's mercy. And the way he's going to do that is he is going to fulfill an ancient promise that God made to his people that one day somebody like Elijah would come. And when that person came, he would have the same Holy Spirit controlling him that controlled Elijah.
Wow.
And he would have the same message that Elijah had. But the outcome of his message would be different than the outcome of Elijah's message. And so when Elijah came, he preached against the people's sin and he called them to repentance, and very few people repented. When this son would actually come on the scene, he would have a similar message. He was going to call people to repentance, and this time they would respond.
Hmm.
So there's a huge thing that's going on here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, put yourself in Zechariah's place,
man.
All right? You've been praying for all these years. You've sort of crossed over into that place where I know I should keep praying. I am praying because it's the right thing to do. I believe in God. Nothing's changed about my beliefs. I'm behaving the way I'm supposed to behave. But I actually have crossed over in this little space in my head where I don't think God is going to answer, at least not now. Maybe down the road someday, but it won't be in my lifetime. So I'm just praying like I do every day. And here on the most holy day of my life, I'm going to continue to pray because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And he is blown over
when
this angel shows up to say, God's been hearing you, Zechariah, and his mercy is about to blow you and the entire nation away. You're about to have the greatest display of God's mercy show up, and his name is John.
Yeah, and it's not like, hey, you'll get a son. You're going to get this son. You're going to get this particular
Correct.
Son chosen before the foundation of the world. That Jesus himself would say, hey, this is the number one guy on the planet, setting himself aside, obviously, but it's really mind-boggling, and that's where you have to just kind of hold on. And I appreciate you setting that up the way you did, Sam, because I think there's a lot of times when I just pray because I know it's the right thing to do, but oftentimes
right.
I pray what they a spirit of giving up. I go, okay, I know
yeah,
I need to pray
just,
about
it's
this.
It's the right thing to do, but we don't think it's going to happen.
Right, yeah, so difficult.
But, you know, when I think about John's ministry, you know, obviously what he's going to do in the next half of the passage, when Zechariah actually gets his voice back, God says to Zechariah, I want you to prophesy to everybody because everybody wants to know who this John is and what he's going to do. And so I want you to tell them. And so Zechariah prophesies at the end of the chapter. He says, this son is going to prepare a prepared people for the Messiah.
Wow.
Now, how in the world are you going to do that? How's he going to prepare a prepared people?
Right.
And the answer is he's going to preach a particular message. Repent of your sins.
Yeah.
He's not going to call them to rise up against the Romans. He's not going to get an army together. He's going to simply say, for everything God wants to do for you, here's the real thing you have to be delivered from. You have to be delivered from your unbelief. I had to be delivered from my unbelief.
That's right.
And you know,
so
when
I
didn't believe the angel, and you've got to be delivered from your unbelief.
Yep.
And we both have to repent.
Such a powerful point. So we talked about Zechariah the father, and we're talking about John the son and the forgotten son of Christmas, as we mentioned. Let's go back to Gabriel, who's obviously a major player here. I can't wait till the day when we get to see some of these angels with our own eyes. It's going to be absolutely mind-boggling. But Gabriel, a central player here in announcing both these births, naming both these sons. What about Gabriel? This is a fascinating...
So it's interesting when you talk about Gabriel, because Gabriel is actually a war angel. He is the head of, or one of the heads of God's hosts. And the word hosts in Hebrew is the word for army. So when the angels appear in Luke chapter 2, they're described as a heavenly host. They're a heavenly army that's showing up. Every time you see Gabriel, he is in some kind of military venture. So we saw Gabriel 500 years earlier when he showed up to Daniel, because Daniel had this vision and he's wanting an answer about what the vision is. And Gabriel shows up and he's just been in a battle. And he said, I was on my way, and I got waylaid by the enemy, and I was in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, and Michael came to help me. So we know two names of two angels. We know the archangel Michael, and we know this angel Gabriel. And the name Gabriel actually means God is strong, or God is powerful. And every time we see Gabriel in the scriptures, he is at the forefront of an amazing thing that only God can do. So when he shows up to Mary, he's about to announce the birth of Messiah, which is the opening act in a war against Satan. And the proof that this is an opening sort of act, the birth of Jesus, is what Satan does. He moves Herod to come at all the babies in Jerusalem and try to kill them.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, we're in this. We think of Christmas as this wonderful time. It's the opening act of a war that Jesus is going to win.
Yeah, such a powerful point. We're about to hit the break. And what a fascinating realignment, bringing us into the reality of what we're being taught by the word. That I just think about, Sam, we're about to hit the break. I think about the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan. And just sit there and go, okay, this is brutal. And this is serious, bloody war. That's exactly what's going on in heaven. Earth as well. And so we're going to continue a little bit more.
Such a player in it.
Yeah, it's just amazing. We're talking to Dr. Sam Horn. We're talking about Gabriel, and then we'll move to the last player in this story, Elizabeth, when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, a special Christmas edition of Theology Thursday. I won't be here tomorrow, by the way, so I'll be spending my day with my family. I hope you do the same on Christmas Eve, and hope you have a very, very merry and blessed and deeply significant and profound Christmas experience over the next few days. That's why we're excited today to really focus on Christmas, but in a unique way, and in a way that normally we kind of skip over Luke chapter 1 when we learn about Zechariah and the pregnancy with him and his wife Elizabeth, of course, the birth of John, the visitation of the angel Gabriel, and usually we just kind of skip right to Luke chapter 2 at Christmas time, but that's why today, as we are discussing the Viewpoint blog from our friends at BJU Seminary, The Forgotten Christmas Son, Four Names and Four Promises for Christmas 2021. Of course, that son is John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, and the names Zechariah, which we've talked about. We're talking about John himself. We're talking about Gabriel, and in a few minutes we'll get to Elizabeth, and then we'll wrap it all up with some encouraging words and exhortation for all of us. But with these promises, so important that we remember, God remembers, that's Zechariah. We get to John, God is gracious. And then Gabriel, God is strong. And these characters in this actual historical event, Dr. Sam Horn, we don't know that much about them because the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about them. But it's fascinating when we start talking about angels, and especially the angel Gabriel, because we know about Gabriel, and we know, of course, about Michael the archangel, but these are just mind-blowing. I just, like I said earlier, I can't wait to see these guys in person one day.
You know, Steve, it's so true. And one of the things that you immediately see whenever you see angels in Scripture is, on a human level, the immediate response when you actually see an angel is there's terror, yeah. Understandably, yeah. And then you're falling down or you're silent. And the angel speaks words of comfort to you. Mm. And the angel actually points you to somebody that's even more majestic. And Gabriel does this when he says to Zechariah, hey, I know you're doubting this because you're asking me for proof. Here's the proof. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord, and I serve him. Hmm. Here's an angel who stands in the presence of God for all eternity, and he wants Zechariah and all the rest of us to know, I serve a God who is able to do anything. There is nothing impossible to God. In fact, that's what Mary is going to actually articulate when she gives her praise when she finds out what's going to happen to her, which is even greater than what happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth, yeah. Right? I mean, they conceived a son in their old age by natural means. Mary is actually going to have God create, you know, by direct creation, a baby in her womb. And you're like, who can do this? And Gabriel's answer is God.
Yeah.
I serve the God who is able. And so when you stop and think about all that is going on here, Gabriel is in the story not to point you to him and to his might and to his power, but to point you to the God who's remembering his promises to his people. And he's there to give testimony as he serves this humble priest and this aged lady and the nation. He's there to say to them, the greatest way I can serve you is to remind you that God is able, God is strong. And you know, Steve, I need those reminders. You need those reminders.
Yeah.
I mean, we can have all the theological training. I mean, I'm a pastor, I'm a seminary professor, and yet every day there are times when I get so discouraged,
yep.
And I wonder how in the world is this going to work out? And it's like you come to this text and you're Zechariah. And you should remember, because you have all these stories,
right.
And you have your Bible,
yep.
And all these sermons.
That's right.
And God says, you need a reminder. I am able. There is nothing impossible for me.
And it's
you
and
talk
it's,
about the economy, you talk about health, you talk about all of it.
You
There's
name
nothing
it.
Impossible.
That's right. Nothing impossible for God. It's fascinating in this part, and then we'll move to Elizabeth. That you know, Gabriel had to shut Zechariah's mouth, and Zechariah struggling to believe. Which I'm like, oh,
yeah.
That sounds familiar. And we struggle to believe
yeah,
the promises of God. And that's why I love the honesty of the Bible. The Bible records all kinds of things that it doesn't necessarily endorse, but it's there because we can relate to that. And Zechariah had a hard time believing. I think we struggle with that ourselves.
And basically for between 9 and 12 months, he's silent. Mm-hmm. And he's had a lot of time to think. And when this baby is born, there's a conflict about the naming of the child because everybody's like, he should be named Zechariah. And Elizabeth comes along and says, no, his name is John. And they're like, you're just the mom. You don't get to name this
right.
In our culture.
Right.
And so they hand Zechariah this writing, and he actually writes something really unusual. He doesn't say his name will be John. He says his name is John. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's pointing back to what the angel told him, and he said, the angel named him, and I believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
So somewhere in the silence, Zechariah had moved from unbelief to belief. And the moment he wrote that down, his mouth was released and he could speak. And what comes out of his mouth is one of the most amazing prophetic praises in the Bible. It's called the Benedictus. And it's all about Jesus and it's all about John.
Yeah, so beautiful and so powerful, so amazing. But then what about Elizabeth? Because obviously she's carrying this baby, John, and her encounters with Mary and their time together is just amazing. Let's talk about Elizabeth and this final promise. God is favorable.
You know, I love the story that puts Elizabeth front and center because God so often takes women who in the culture of the day were sort of not even paid attention to, and he brings them front and center.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the lineage of Jesus, there's women in that line. So it's like God is saying, I want you to know how much I value and care for women. And this woman, Elizabeth, is someone that I've been caring for. And you all have thought that there's something wrong with her. Well, I'm going to vindicate her. And so Elizabeth opens up her mouth and she uses the word me three times in her statement. She says, the Lord has done this for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach. You know, God was about to do something massive for the whole nation. But before he did something for the whole nation, he looked at this one person, this faithful woman who had prayed her entire life for a son. And he said to her, Elizabeth, I've heard your prayers and I'm giving you a son. And Elizabeth believed. She appropriated.
Yeah.
And she praised God. She said, God has done this for me. And how many times do we miss God's blessing because we fail to appropriate what God is doing for us? You know, we want God to do something big for our country. We want God to do something big for our church. We want God to do something, and we should pray those big prayers. We're invited to pray those big prayers. But sometimes in failing to see the big thing that God is doing, because it hasn't happened yet, or we're not, you know, we don't know what's coming.
Right.
We just forget how many times God is at work in our own little life. And we just forget to rejoice in that. And Elizabeth didn't. She went home and she got pregnant. And after she got over the shock of that, she began to realize God did this for me. Well, even in the past 2 years of COVID and all of the stuff that's been going on around us, God has been at work in each one of our lives. Mm-hmm. And we could do what Elizabeth did. We could step back and say, you know, God, actually, you've been at work.
That's right.
I thought you were absent because you didn't answer it the way I wanted you to answer it, or you didn't do it the way I thought you should do it, or it didn't turn out the way I wished it would have and the way I prayed for. But God, you've done things for me.
That's right.
You did things for my life. You showed this mercy to me. And Elizabeth brings it all back to one person before God. And that's really where praying is. Praying is one person before God pouring out their heart and God hearing that person.
Such a power, and that's such a powerful vision.
Prayers,
that's right. And
he hears us also.
I think about in the Psalms and David describing God inclining his ear, you know, leaning over. It's almost like, you know, he turns his head, cocks his head a little bit and turns his ear to you, because that's what and it's you and the Lord, the God of the universe. Elizabeth's name, and then we'll recapture everything. We've got about 2 minutes left, Sam.
Elizabeth means God is favorable.
Wow.
You know, God has favored me. Yeah. I mean, there's a debate about whether it's God is my fortune or God is the one by whom I swear. But at the end of the day, her name means I can trust God because God has acted favorably to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve, even in the times you and I've talked, you know, when we haven't been on the air, you know, you have given testimony. I could give testimony of how God has acted favorably to us, even in the midst of all of what we've been through.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. And that's why these four promises, as we wrap it up, we got about a minute and a half. The four promises for Christmas coming right out of these four characters and these four people that are historical people, including the angel Gabriel, and these things actually happen. The four promises for Christmas, just to remind everybody, God remembers our praying. God is merciful and gracious. God is strong and mighty, and God is favorable towards us. Wrap that up for us, Sam. We just got about a little over a minute left so that we can really land the plane and praise the Lord as we enter Christmas.
Well, those four promises really are the essence of who we are and what we need, right? We need to know that God remembers, and we need to know that God is gracious, and we need to know that God is able, that he's mighty, and we need to know that God is favorable. That last promise wraps it all up. And so the real question is, are we going to seize the promises? Are we going to remember? Are we going to be Elizabeth, or are we going to be Zechariah? Are we going to forget? And so that's really where this passage comes, is God remembers, God is strong, God is gracious, God is favorable. Do you remember?
Amen. What a powerful Christmas message. Dr. Sam Horn, professor at BJU Seminary, Merry Christmas to you, my brother, and your family and everybody there at BJU. It's been such a wonderful, powerful, informative, and encouraging message today. I just can't thank you enough for your time on this busy week. But Merry Christmas to you, Sam, and thanks again so much today.
And to you as well.
Thank you, buddy. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon. And like I always used to say, never forget.